All summer, Triple M rocks the Ashes.
Bombs away.
What a catch! He's taking a blinder!
And it wouldn't be Triple M cricket without the banter.
Got a new ball. It came back as some of that sandpaper all over.
As Australia and England fight for the urn, these guys will have everything covered.
I'm here for insightful thinking of the game.
For Cooper's Mild Ale,
the best mid-strength beer that tastes like a full strength,
this is Willow Talk.
Yes, welcome to Willow Talk. To all the Triple M fans out there, whether you're listening to the AFL or the NRL coverage, this is your home for Triple M cricket throughout the summer. It's called Willow Talk. I'm Liam Flanagan. We're going to have all the stars from the Triple M Ashes coverage over the summer on this show. It'll be dropping between every test match. You'll have the likes of Lord Ian Botham. You'll have Mark Taylor. You'll have Greg Blewett. You'll have JB, Howie. Everybody that you hear on air during the cricket commentary will be a part of this show throughout the summer. We can't wait to rip into it. I have one favour to ask, though. Go and download the Listener app. That's the place you want to be listening to Triple M cricket this summer, starting at the Gabba, finishing, well, we don't know where the fifth test is going to be played at the moment. Wherever it finishes, Listener is the place to hear Triple M's Ashes coverage. Go grab it. Liam Flanagan here, joined in studio by, well, I don't know if there's a man more excited about the summer of cricket ahead of us. He's going to be calling ball by ball during our Ashes coverage. I speak, of course, of Gus Wong. G'day, Gussie.
G'day, Liam. How are you, mate? Yeah, very, very excited. Only a few sleeps away now. This is really Christmas, not the 25th. The 8th of December is Christmas Day.
You look like Pat Cummins when he was made captain. You can't wipe the smile off your face right now. You're that up and about.
Yeah, I am. It's all I want to talk about. I'm so excited about it. I'm just glad that we're going to have some crowds and, you know, the Ashes is here. And, you know, bring it on.
Well, we can't just have two dribblers like you and me in here when we're talking cricket. We need to bring in someone who knows the game, understands
and who's been there.
Well, stood behind the stumps of 66 tests in the baggy green cap. We speak of Brad Haddin. G'day, Hats.
Liam, g'day, mate. How exciting is it today? I'm with you, Gussie. Ashes campaign is different to anything else. The theatre behind it, the banter. Mate, everyone has a comment, whether it's at your local RSL or you're out to the dinner, everyone's got a comment on the Ashes.
Exactly right. And so much to get through too, Liam. Should we start the ball rolling with the captain?
Let's talk about the captaincy. Yeah, what do you think, Gussie?
Well, I think it was a fantastic decision. I think it was a decision that had to be made. I think he's the perfect person coming off two, you know, straddled in controversy type situations. I think you had to go there, but I'm really glad that Smithy's the VC. But what I wanted to ask you, Hads, was, do you think it's a right call? But also, what sort of role should Smithy play now, being an ex-captain coming back into it?
Yeah, firstly, I think it's the right call. I think we needed someone like Paddy Cummins. I think what he'll do, he's just the perfect role model for everyone. The one thing he's got with Steve Smith as his vice-captain, I've heard a bit of talk about the week that he'll take over at different times, a captain. That doesn't work. The captain creates the identity for the team. Paddy will be captain of the team. Steve will complement the vision that he has and the style of play that he wants to do. And I think Steve Smith will do a really good job as vice-captain. I think since he's had the captaincy and lost it and come back, he's now a better leader. And I think we're going to see that over the summer with the role he plays as VC.
Yeah, and I think he's a better person as well, Liam. I think I've spoken about it with you and MG on your show and also on the new Brekkie show. The fact is that he's more rounded as a person now. He's not just a cricketer because he went into schools. He took the hard line. He stood up there in front of kids who gave it to him, you know, and ask him all the tough questions. And sometimes with tears running down his eyes, he spoke about losing the leadership, not losing that spot in the Australian team. He's grown a tremendous amount. He saved lives. And I think he's a better person to be a leader now. Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's a great opportunity also for him to have another taste of leadership. He's got to see if he wants this also. What he went through in South Africa and the months and years afterwards, it was traumatic. So he's got to see if he wants to go back into that role, be the focus of leadership with the Australian cricket team. He might not want it. He might say, you know what, I've had my time as Australian captain or vice captain. I just want a bat. But Paddy Cummins will do a good job. He's got to create his own identity, what he wants his team to look like, and Steve will complement that.
How will that work logistically on the field when Pat finishes an over? And then where will he field? Because, you know, with this idea that, you know, the fast bowlers bugger off down to fine leg or third man at the end of their over. How will that work logistically?
Well, he'll just go to mid-off and mid-on. He'll finish his overs. He'll be right there with the bowling group, which is good. Steve will be in first slip, so he'll get a good look at the angles and he can play around with that with the wicket keeper. But traditionally, you put the fine leg, the captain, not the captain, the bowler at fine leg because they're stupid. But Paddy Cummins, we've got a different breed. He'll do a good job. He's got a good understanding of the game. And it'll be interesting to see how it works. A lot of pressure goes on him. And the one thing I hope he doesn't do is he bowls himself still in the big moments, because that's the one thing Paddy was really good at. He's world-class, winning big moments in test matches. And I just hope he doesn't underbowl himself.
So many other countries have gone with fast bowlers, you know, Richard Hadlee, Kapil Dev, you know.
Wazzy Makram.
Imran Khan, absolutely. But we haven't done it in Australia. In fact, you know, Richie Beno's the last bowler, and I think we go 20 years further back for a fast bowler. Why is it that we've gone for batsmen and not bowlers? There's got to be a reason for it. That's why people were like, oh, I'm not sure about this. Let Paddy be the best bowler in the world, which he is. Don't put all that extra stress and strain of media and being the face of the team.
Yeah, I think fast bowling is the hardest job in the team. We ask a lot of our fast bowlers in Australia. They've got to pound in on those hard wickets. We want them to bowl 140 plus. So it's a tough job. But I think the one thing, Paddy, is he's really rounded. He's got a great understanding of the game. He's got a good balance off the field. Tactically, we haven't seen much of him. We've seen a little bit with New South Wales in the one days, and he was quite sharp in that area. But he'll grow into the role. He'll learn. He's got some good people around him. And it's going to be interesting. Once his first test start, the Barmy Army will be ruthless on him, but well, he'll stand up.
I spoke to him the other day, Liam, before I know we're going to talk about the keeper in a moment, but the Barmy Army said wanted me to do some stuff through the summer at some of their events and stuff, which I'm very happy
envelopes?
To do there. No envelope.
No, no envelopes.
All for the fun.
All for the love of the game, of course.
So you've been working with MG for too long. And they said to me, even though we won't be able to come over necessarily, we've got two or three bays at every test match done with Poms that just live out here. And there's plenty of them, of course, you know, the great unwashed are here. So there's still going to be a little bit of banter from the Barmy Army, even though we won't get that 5,000 that come in for Boxing Day that then move into the New Year's Test match. But we still will have that influence, which will be great. The, you know, just the noise and the music and stuff is awesome.
Hads, I would argue that it's un-Australian of Gus Wallen to be taking cashies from the Barmy Army this summer. With so much on the line to front up.
There's no cashies, mate. This is all for the love. The blokes that I met when I did the Aussie Goes Barmy, they're all now the leaders of the Barmy Army. So it's catching up with old
jobs
mates.
For the boys.
I hope if you are taking cash off them, you're ripping them off. That's what I'd like
what
to
see. What do you reckon I'm worth for a couple of
mate,
hours?
Whatever you work with them, put 50% tax on it, Australian tax, because but I tell you what, they're good fun, the Barmy Army. A lot of countries go over and they don't enjoy the Barmy Army. I think Australia deal with them the best. We enjoy the banter. They give it to you, but they also respect the game. I remember when Steve Smith got hit at Lords. He went off, but then he came back and he fought for a bit, then got out. But the Barmy Army stood and clapped him as he went off. So they respect the game. They can be a pain in the ass, but they're good fun sometimes.
They sure are.
Hey, it'd be remiss of us not to talk about the huge announcement for Triple M's Ashes coverage today. The new additions, we already know that we have Lord Ian Botham as a part of our
or Lord Beefy, as we're going to call him.
Lord Beefy, yeah, exactly right. But today, the new additions that have been announced as well, just a bloke who happened to win the T20 World Cup a couple of weeks back, Aaron Finch.
Goes okay.
Finchy. Good,
and he's a rascal.
Good talker.
Finchy.
Yes.
He's a rascal, so he'd be good fun.
He'd be perfect for Triple M, you're saying.
Yeah, perfect.
He's tight with the Hawks legend, Luke Hodge, as well. And I remember hearing him when he's come on Triple M's footy coverage on occasion, and you can hear that naughtiness in the way that he and Hodgie talk to each other. Isn't it? They've got up to a bit of mischief over their time.
And wouldn't you love to be with those two blokes getting up to that mischief? But it's funny, cricketers talking about football and footballers talking about cricket or other sports. Mm. They're more excited about the other sport than they ever are about their own sport. Mm. That's what I love about it.
When we've had Hads on, he just wants to talk about rugby league with MG.
Well, he wants to talk about the Raiders and, you know, six again, and he just gives it to me all the time.
I don't talk about that anymore.
Hey, the other name we need to address, Andy Lee. Lee joining the team.
So he loves the Stars, obviously. We see him in the T20 coverage. He's their 12th man, isn't he? So it'd be great just to see his... I suppose he's a fan, like I am, but he'll just bring his own unique humour to it.
He will. Andy Lee was actually at my first test in the Caribbean. He was sitting in the grandstand drinking a lot of rum. There's a lot of smoke coming around him as well. I don't know what was going on there, but
you've got to keep up your fluids when you're away on tour.
Hydrating.
He was definitely hydrating. So, but he's got a good knowledge of the game too.
Well, and he's very tight with our new captain. Him and Pat Cummins are very close friends. So
is that how he got the job?
Well, I would think so.
Mm, I think so too. Yeah.
I would think so. He was barracking for Pat over Steve in a very big way.
I think Andy Lee will be cheap to have on our coverage. Like, ooh. I think we've all taken a little COVID hit on our salaries. I know exactly where it's gone, Liam. Let's talk about someone that will be on the field. Is that Alex Carey, the fact that he's taken over the gloves? Were you surprised by that? Are you happy with that? What are your thoughts on the new keeper?
No, I like it. I like that. I think Alex has earned the right to be Australia's next keeper. He's played 90 games for Australia in the white ball. That'll help him feeling comfortable in the group straight away. There was a bit of talk about Inglis or Jimmy Pearson maybe jumping Alex, but he's got the first crack. And if he plays his cards right, this is a long-term position. He can make this his own for the next 5 to 7 years. The big thing he's got to remember, he'll score his runs. He did that in the 2019 World Cup under pressure, but his first job is with the gloves. His hardest job is going to be keeping the Nathan Lyon in day 4 and day 5. And that's where he's got to be his most polished.
Okay. What about Inglis? He's a POM, really. You know, he's a POM.
until we pick him.
Well, exactly. But, he says now that he's obviously, he's a Western Australian. He's an Australian and so forth. But he did come over, I think, as a 12 or 14-year-old. So he supported England all the way through that first bit. Is he next cab off the rank, or a Josh Phillippe or someone like that can just jump out of the clouds if it doesn't work out with Carey?
Well, there's a few others, actually. Jimmy Pearson's one who's played some really good cricket. Inglis is an interesting one for me. He's had an outstanding 12 months. He's done everything warranted to get his name up there. But now, all of a sudden, that comes with scrutiny. People will watch him closer, whether you miss a half chance, you go for a lean patch. So he's going to have a different dynamic this next 12 months because all the eyes are going to be on everything he does. So this would be good to see how he reacts to that.
Okay. Now, I'm going to get a serious prediction from both of you gentlemen, but let's hone in on this first test that kicks off next week at the Gabba. The bowlers, Hads, because James Patterson, the retirement that I don't think many people saw coming, because this bloke perennially just missing out on being one of the best three. He's come through Stark, Cummins, Hazelwood. He's always been that fourth bowler, next cab off the rank, and when he's firing, he's firing. But he stepped away from the national setup. Would he have been a chance for this first test next week at the Gabba?
Yeah, I think he would have been. James Pattinson is a big loss for this series. You need between 5 and 7 fast bowlers to get yourself through a series. We've seen last summer against India, I think Australia's quicks at the back end of the series, the Sydney and the Brisbane test, you could see them flagging. And the one thing you want from Mitchell Starc, you want him to bowl fast and aggressive. You want him to put pressure on that top order. You want him to scare the daylights out of the tail as well. So, yeah, I think Paddo's going to be a big loss for the series. Mm. I think Starc will get the nod in the first test. And I think
so he'll be there.
I think he will be. But you've got Nessa there. You've got Jai Richardson who've come in for the first two tests. And I could see Nessa playing a role in one of the first two tests only. Once the wickets get a bit flatter, I think guys like Sean Abbott and Richardson will come back into contention. But Starc, you want to be bowling, as I said, fast and aggressive. So I don't think they'll play all the tests, these three quicks.
Wouldn't it be nice? Swing at about 150 clicks from Starc would be amazing. But Liam, this morning, Paddo was texted by the Australian captain to say, have you really want to not play? Because he knows exactly what you said. So when the captain's texting you and he went, you know what? I want to have a good big bash. I want to then have a little bit of time off. And I want to sort of get myself back for Victoria and be a leader amongst these young boys, because a lot of young blokes coming through. So that shows maturity from that. But I'd still like him to be available.
You know how he could show leadership? To go out in the first test, get 10 wickets, and show to the young Victorian quicks, this is how it's done against the Poms. He's a big loss. And he's one of those guys you enjoy playing with, James Pattinson, because he's got those scary eyes. Once he walks across the field, he forgets everything.
White line fever.
Yeah, and I love playing against guys like that.
Just ask your old teammate, poor old Dan Hughes. Copped one in the Shield game from him the other week. Pattinson, I don't know what happened there. He saw Redden toss the ball straight back at him.
Yeah, but that's what you want from your fast bowlers. Yeah, we used to do it with Dougie Bollinger. We used to say, mate, the game's a bit flat. Can just throw the ball at someone, kick someone, or spit at someone at the non-striker's end. But don't say we told you. But it sort of gets the game moving, and everyone looks at him in the way going, this guy could do something stupid at any stage.
Well, he came to the No BS lunch a couple of times, and what goes on at the No BS lunch stays there. But let's just say he had a good time.
Right.
And when he got up on stage, I still can't quite believe what happened.
Yeah, okay. Well,
but the people listening now will know.
It's a memory for those people and those people only. We'll keep it that way.
Triple M's Willow Talk, back soon for Cooper's Mild Ale, the best mid-strength beer that tastes like a full strength. If this show were a dismissal, it'd be a man cad.
Oh, no!
Triple M's Willow Talk.
This is Willow Talk. Thanks to Cooper's Mild Ale, the best mid-strength beer that tastes like a full-strength. Triple M Cricket is back. You can catch every ball on the Listener app. And for those that aren't across the full complement, the lineup that we're going to be delivering for these five test matches, Gus, yourself, Mark Howard, James Brayshaw, all calling ball by ball, and Isabel Westbury.
Yeah, so she's going to be the new Isha
Gua. She is her own Isabel Westbury. That is true.
But Isha sort of started her career, which has now blossomed into the number one broadcaster.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? So Izzy's going to be absolutely fantastic. Great mate of Isha's as well. And the simple fact for me is that it's going to be great to have a few Poms in the
English,
box to be able to just throw a little bit of variety at us, because we're obviously, you know, more barrackers than callers.
Well, and then we look at the experts, and Hads, you're one of these. And let me read out the names, and I want you to rank yourself. I want you to tell me where you sit in this complement of names. Obviously,
Tubby's one.
Well, above Lord.
100%.
Okay, so Mark Taylor. Lord Ian Botham.
Two.
Yourself, Hads. Merv, the bus driver. Merv Hughes.
Yeah,
you're ahead of Merv.
Yeah, 100%.
You're ahead of Merv. Greg Blewett.
Yeah.
Great field. You put yourself ahead of him, though?
Yeah, I put myself ahead of Blewett. He's good fun, though, Blewett.
Ferguson, in my mind, one of the most unlucky batsmen in the history of Australian Test cricket, went down to Hobart,
just
played one test.
Got to be a little
test,
bit quicker between the wickets,
and
mate.
And then they decided to put the broom through the place after his first Test match. And, of course, as we mentioned today, Aaron Finch as well. So,
Finchie's right up there. Yeah. Modern-day player.
How many World Cups did you win?
I was involved in 3 World Cups and won 2.
Yeah.
How many did you win, Gus?
Only represented Australia at dodgeball, and we came 31st out of 32 countries.
That's all right.
So I'm a capped international cricketer?
Wow.
Vanuatu.
Really?
Vanuatu.
How did you go?
Terribly.
Right.
Opened the bowling against the Victorian Touring Club side. This is when I was living over there. Yeah. Opened the bowling and maiden.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
And
bold.
It turns out that the bloke was thinking it would do something, because I came back on from the second over and it went for about 28.
Right.
He's like, this isn't doing anything.
And
So I reckon Taylor, Lord, Haddon.
Putting him on the podium.
And Finch, unlucky in fourth. Deserves more.
Ooh.
But that's where it lies. And then you've got your Merv, Blewett and Fergo,
The add-ons.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic lineup. I'm looking forward to this. Is just going to be a terrific compliment. Whatever combinations we have on air, and as we mentioned, Andy Lee also going to be a part of it. Let's talk series.
Yeah.
I want from both of you, I'd like a full series prediction. I'd like a leading run scorer and a leading wicket taker.
Okay,
got it.
I'll go first. We'll give Hads a little bit more time to think about it, because what he says actually means something. I'm going to go with a series. I think we're going to have rain really affecting the first test, so get on the draw. I think it's $2.80 at the moment, just for gamble responsibly. I think it's $2.80, I think, last time I checked.
What? Hold on. You're taking money off the Poms while they're here, your cashies.
Yeah.
Now you're betting on a draw.
Only because of the rain.
What has become of this cricket-loving man that we all fell in love with?
Mate, I've been running a non-for-profit for 2 years. How do you reckon I'm going? So that's that. I'm going to go with 2-0 to Australia, with a couple of draws in there with weather. I'm going to go with Smithy being the leading run scorer. I think he's just going to snap back like he did after his 12 months off. And what was the last question?
Leading wicket taker.
We'll go with Paddy.
Paddy?
Yeah, I think Paddy's going to lead us to a series win and leading wicket taker. What do you reckon, Hads?
Well, I think the leading wicket taker is going to be Josh Hazlewood.
Okay.
I think he's, over the last 12 months, I think his form has been as good as it's ever been in his career. Leading run scorer, I'm going to go a bit left field. David Warner. He's been under a bit of pressure.
It's not that left field.
Yeah, but
he's been under the batting and one of our best players.
Bit of pressure, but I think he'll dominate this England attack. They've got no pace at the top. If David Warner gets through the start of the game, he's going to dominate this Ashes series with the wickets we get in Australia. I think the only tests England can win are the first one and the pink ball test. If they don't get any result out of that, I think it's going to be a long summer. So I think it's going to be 3-0.
Is this, just quickly, we should mention the other team playing in this series quickly.
Who?
England.
Who?
Yeah, the other team.
Well, they're pretty good.
Well, they're more than good. And they come out with one of the best batsmen in the world in Joe Root.
Yeah. But he is the number one ranked batsman right now, and the number one bowler is Cummins. So at some stage, Cummins to Root, 1v1, it's Federer, Nadal, or however we want to call
it. Love it.
Which is awesome, right?
Which is fantastic to see, but I want to take your point there about the bowling attack, Hads. You think this might be a bit of Dad's Army business coming down here?
Yeah, I do. I think you've got Anderson Broad, who are great performers. They've been great performers for a long, long time. But
they're the number one fast bowling duo of all time, stats-wise.
Yeah.
Really?
Are they in your mind, though? Or do you go back to the Windies of the 80s?
I think Windies of the 80s, McGrath, Lee, Gillespie. Oh, you put those guys. But they're performers. The one thing, though, it's not the Duke's ball. You can get away in England with the ball being bowling a bit slower air speed because it moves around a little bit. Here, they're not going to get that. And if we can keep them out in this first test, coming back for their fourth and fifth and sixth spells, we can break them leading into the two and three tests. So I think they're going to struggle. With the conditions out here, those two. And they haven't got any pace. They've got Mark Wood, who's quick, but there's no way in the world he can play more than three tests. They've lost Archer, which is a lot of their intimidation factor. But the player for me is Ben Stokes. Take away his runs and his wickets. It's just the presence he gives his team. And he makes Joe Root's job a lot easier as well because, you know, as soon as the England captain gets on the field, We're targeting him. We're going to make him feel uncomfortable. We're going to throw the ball at him. We're going to get him off his game. We're going to do whatever we can do to ruffle Joe Root. So someone like Ben Stokes around, he's not intimidated by any of that. He'll stick up for him, and he'll be someone that'll take the load off Joe Root. So he's a big, big player in that team.
Now let's talk about a bloke who's on 399 test wickets and a friend of all of us in here. He's a tremendous bloke, probably the most loved Australian cricketer, certainly by the crowd as well. He's on 399. You said Alex Carey will be judged on how he keeps to him in days four and five or second innings of matches. What about Nathan Lyon? Where will he be looked at? He's the GOAT in terms of us and best, obviously, off-spinner, but what sort of season will he have?
He's got a huge role to play. His stats speak for itself. He's 1 wicket away from 400, but he's developed his game over the last few years where he can play a holding pattern. He can hold the end if the quicks are bowling, keep the scoreboard down, but also he can turn it on and attack when he needs to attack when he sees an opening. So he's got a huge summer ahead there. The one thing Nathan Lyon does as well, you just watch him. He just loves playing for Australia. He loves these moments in the Ashes. He's up for this. He's the keeper of the song. Yeah, he is. And that's really more important than the captain. So he's been getting ready for this occasion for a long time. He doesn't play white ball cricket. He's going to have a big summer. And he's got a hold over a lot of these batsmen. Josh Butler doesn't like facing him in test matches, and he's a big player for England. So the GOAT, he just liked to get his first or second over, get that 400 out of the way. As much as he said it won't play on his head, it will. Till he gets it, then he'll just work his way in the series.
What a moment if that can be Alex Carey's, you know, first test dismissal.
Oh, well, no, he's sixth. Because he would have had five off the quicks and then Nathan, what I mean?
Like, I just meant for the romantic in I'd love it to be his first. And Nathan Lyon's 400, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Hads, the only unresolved puzzle piece for this Aussie side is number five. Who gets it?
I think Usman Khawaja. I see no reason why you'd bring a 34-year-old into the squad if he's not going to play the first test. I know Head's done a lot during the summer. He's got a couple of double hundreds. He's played really well, but I'd go experience with Green behind him and now a new keeper. I think Khawaja's experience at number five. He knows how to change momentum in the game. He's pretty calm and you need that in a big series. So Khawaja for mine.
You happy with that, Gussie?
Yeah, I'm happy with that as well. If they'd gone for Head as well, I would have been happy. He's obviously the...
He's just a happy guy. He's crazy. I mean,
whatever. They're both quality cricketers. I am a little bit worried about the fact that Green's just walked straight back into this team. Like, I know that he did a little bit, but not when it really counted against India. Still, I think it's the longest time a bowler has bowled without getting a wicket in Test cricket. He hasn't got one of those yet. And I suppose we want him to be great. We've been looking for that all-rounder for so long. But is it right that there's been no discussion whatsoever? It's all been about Harris. Is Harris going to make it? Yeah, he is. Okay, well, who's going to be the captain? Okay. But that's number six position's just been locked in as Green for the whole winter.
Yeah, well, I actually agree with that. I think we've got a class act there in Green. And he's one of those guys you need to stick with for a long time. After last summer, he had some good moments with the bat. He was new to Test cricket, but he went away and dominated state cricket. He got hundreds, he got double hundreds. So I think we've got something really, really special. And he's one of those players you need to stick with for a while. Leave him at number six. He's got a really good cricket head on him. He does bowl a bit. He's bowling. It'll get better. He's 6 foot and he can bowl near 140k. So I really like that he's in the team, and he's someone you need to stick with long term.
Yeah, Gus.
I'm with
Shut
you.
Shut up.
Leave
Cameron Green alone.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. One of the stats which we're going to have a bit of fun with this summer is the fact that Broad's 10 wickets away from being the number one bowler for England over both of them in the Ashes. So I was thinking it'd be good to get like a little countdown. So
I don't think you'll get it.
You don't reckon he'll get 10 wickets?
Doesn't do it on Aussie
soil. So forget about the countdown?
Well, it'd be a good countdown, but my gut, what odds you got? I know you had 280 for this, the draw.
Yeah, I haven't got,
mate.
Do you know how hard he's been working on this countdown idea and you just come out and squashed it?
I could be wrong.
I doubt it. You know more bigger than anyone.
Five tests, 10 wickets required. You don't reckon he gets there? That's a bold prediction.
That
from
is a bold prediction. Let's put that in the
lock that in.
Lock that puppy in. But it's going to be a great summer. It's going to be awesome. You're going to be part of, you know, our call. And just Liam, I can't believe we didn't keep going with cricket. Like, we had such great momentum for those two seasons. Now we're back for the next three summers. And I really want it to be like the footy.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's AFL or rugby league.
Stays here.
It just stays here. You know, we're rock and roll, we're sport, and we're comedy. And they're the three things that the heartblood of what we're talking
Absolutely.
About. And, you know, cricket's a big part of our summer. It's our only true national game. So just glad to be back on Triple M again.
Oh, look at him. It's like.
Come on!
He is pumped up. Gus Wallen, going to be a part of this fantastic call team that we have put together for the Ashes. Triple M Cricket is back. You can catch every ball on the Listener app. This has been the first installment of Willow Talk. Thanks to Cooper's Mild Ale Hads. Go away, do your stats, do your prep, do your research, be ready, because come that first day at the Gabba, it is on.
I can't wait. I can also see the first day, first over, just a little feather to carry, get him on the
first
way.
First wicket.
Hazelwood, nice. Your little ledge on your bike. See you, Rory Burns.
Yeah, see you, Rory. Thanks for coming, mate. Enjoy your trip.
We'll catch you next time on Willow Talk.
Triple M's Willow Talk has been dismissed.
Keep walking, boys!
And remember, you can stream every ball of Triple M Rocking the Ashes by downloading the Listener app.